I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash.
Is that a rash?
And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome back to another Definitely Dying. We are excited to be here. We have a super funny, fun episode getting ready for you to listen to. I don't know.
We're getting ready for you to listen.
Well, I was trying to phrase things a little differently, and it ended up sounding dumb.
You were trying to do your drive time character.
Yeah.
We're getting ready for you to.
Getting ready for you to listen. Drive time.
Yeah, we like to play with our drive time characters.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something that happened at the beginning of this podcast and has come back.
Yes.
Ringworm.
Ringworm.
I'm okay.
Yeah,
you might
remember we had our Ringworm 2016 updates that we were throwing at you, and for a while there were no updates because both of us were 100% ringworm free.
Yeah.
No ringworm on either of our bodies.
None.
I have to tell you something that happened about 3 weeks ago. I was walking to the gym and I noticed my my middle toe, or like my I guess like what would be my pointer toe, you know, the toe
next
to your big toe, which I should mention for listeners, I've got freaky feet. Like I've got those weird feet. My feet look creepy. My feet look like a kind of old hag or a skeleton's feet. And my middle toe is longer than all my other toes and markedly so.
Yeah.
And so that long middle toe, it was like hurting. And I couldn't figure out why. I thought maybe there was like a little rock in the front of my shoe or something. And I took off my shoe in the middle of the street and didn't see anything. I was like, huh, that's weird. It kept hurting. I didn't know what it was. And then when I was doing yoga the next day, because guys, I exercise a lot. That's the important take home. I was going to the gym one day. I did yoga the next day. I was really close to my feet, you know, as you are when you are doing yoga. And I noticed my big toe and the tip of my middle toe were all like scaly and like red and ouchy. And that is what I realized was athlete's foot, which is ringworm.
Yeah. Okay.
Feet.
So you have athlete's. So that's what that was going to be my follow up question was that didn't we determine that when it's on your foot, it's athlete's foot? So
yeah,
you have the same thing, but it's on
your... I have ringworm on my feet, which is athlete's foot.
So, it probably means that you encountered new ringworm, like that it's not like it's not a resurfacing, because how would it travel like that? And you would imagine that like the reason that athlete's foot is the most common form of ringworm is just because we're touching gross things with our feet in like gyms and places like that. So what are you doing? Are you rubbing like cortisone or whatever all over your feet?
I got a can of Lotrimin, which I sprayed on my feet, and it pretty much did the trick for the chunky parts on like my toe, but that middle toe, the tip of my nasty middle toe, is still just like it hurts, and I've stubbed it a couple times, and it like hurts more than a normal stubbed toe. Like something is like wrong with the end of that middle toe, and like that's the one part that I spray it every day or every other day when I remember.
Right.
But it, like, that part won't go away.
Yeah, that's a maybe it does have something to do with your freaky middle toe.
Yeah. If anybody has any ideas, tweet at us with the hashtag freaky middle toe.
Yeah, freaky middle toe.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this out there. We brought it up with Dr. Laura when ringworm first surfaced. I said, "Hey, can this stuff be caused by stress?"
Yeah.
Look, it's been a really stressful time. Ringworm's back. I'm just tossing it out there. Dr. Laura, are you willing to reconsider your answer? Because I feel like Madeline's got stress-induced athlete's foot.
I honestly, I think you might be right.
Yeah. You told me yesterday that you wake up every day scared. Yeah. And now you have, that's a true story. True. She did tell me.
It's true. We were just having a planning phone call for our live show. Yeah. And I don't even know how but it somehow seemed relevant that I wake up every day scared.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe on that note, should we start the show?
Guys, let's wake this show up scared.
Yeah. Well said.
Thank you.
Guys, we have just a great guest for you today. We're so excited to hear the many insane stories that he has to tell you. You know him from Kirby Buckets, which is about to enter season 3. I'm off to a great start with this introduction. you've seen him all over the YouTube. He's got his own channel where you can see him dancing and doing stunts and doing various physical comedy of all sorts. We are so happy to have him. Nathan Barnett.
Hello.
Welcome to the safe space.
Oh, thank you for having me. It is very safe. Yeah. Actual padded walls.
Yeah, it is. It feels very safe.
For anyone who's never been in here with us, it looks like a place they'd send you when you went insane.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. It's got white padding on the walls. And when the fluorescent lights are on, it doesn't feel safe at all.
No.
It feels like you're trapped. Yeah. It's scary.
It feels sort of like the state of the world right now when those lights go on. Yeah. Mm. And then you turn it off and it feels like the world we thought we were going to get.
Yeah. Let's keep those lights off.
Yeah. Let's keep it dim.
Just turn them all off. Yeah. So we don't know what's going on.
Be in the dark. It'd be more accurate to how people hear it.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. I think it'll make the space.
Because everyone's watching with their lights off right now.
Yeah.
When does this air? At midnight?
Yeah.
At midnight.
Dark, yeah.
This was the original at midnight. And,
So should we just jump into it?
Yeah, let's jump right in. Ask them to.
So. Nathan, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you say you fear death?
Oof. Ah, well, I'd say it's up there now.
Yeah.
It's maybe in 7 or an 8.
Okay.
I was never like that. I never, ever, ever thought about anything, like really anything at all. My mind was just didn't think. I just thought about what I was doing immediately. And then like maybe 2-3 years ago, everything changed.
What?
Yeah,
like, I was very ignorant. I was very happy. I'm still very happy. But I was almost too happy before. And now, I've always done dangerous things.
Yeah.
I like physical comedy and stunts and stuff. And even before I was doing it, like, for comedy and, like, for cameras, I was always just jumping off of houses with my friends, jumping off bridges and climbing buildings and just kind of messing around. We used to jump this train in Massachusetts and ride it, like, through towns. We'd just hang on the back of the last car. Then we'd get on top of it. And we'd have to duck for the bridges and lay flat.
What?
Yeah. And we'd be running, like, really, really running after this train to catch it.
And that's like a no-joke. That's like a commuter train, right?
It was a cargo train that came through Milford, Massachusetts.
Whoa.
And we'd hide in the woods. It would end in our town and it would start driving away, and we'd have to wait once the engine was at a certain point where they wouldn't be able to look back and see us
because
it was turning a corner, but the caboose would be still, you know, going ahead or the last car, I guess. We'd start running after it and we'd jump on it, and sometimes our friends wouldn't make it. So it's like, if you didn't make it,
what do you mean they wouldn't make it?
Like, they
couldn't
catch it.
They just one by one were just kicking the bucket.
They got run over.
Goodbye.
But luckily, I always made it.
Yeah,
I'm here now. So I've done dangerous things, and I just don't think immediately. And I never broke a bone. One time I broke my thumb from running up my stairs too fast. I whacked it back home in Massachusetts. Whacked it on the handrail.
Whoa.
And it was just a quick fix.
Yeah.
But that's the worst thing that ever happened to me. And then I came out here. I started doing stupidity on camera. And I started busting all kinds of stuff. But I never really cared. But last year, I feel weird saying this, because my audience, I have overall a young audience, sort of. I've never done drugs in my life until 2 years ago. I tried a piece of weed chocolate, and it messed me up.
See?
Big time.
Yeah, yeah.
I have PTSD now because of it. Yeah, I had died. That's what I experienced, and it was so real.
But you died.
I died.
You died.
That's what
you died.
I believed and felt, and it was insane. I started crying. I went to my brother's room. I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like visiting for the last time. I was like, and I kept asking him, how did I die? Was it a stunt? Because I'm always nervous that maybe this will be the last. If this one's maybe too risky, I might snap my neck and just die. I thought in the moment, I was like, I must have done a stunt. I can't remember. I was trying to remember, what did I do? What did I do? All I remember is now I'm here in this like afterlife moment, and I was about to pass on. I kept thinking I was in purgatory.
Oh, my God.
Because then I got in this endless loop of the same moment happening over. Like, it happened a million times in my head, but it only happened once. I went from my brother's room to the kitchen, leaning on the counter, and then laid on the floor, and then I was just kind of like freaking out, you know?
Yeah.
And like going, oh, I'm seeing all these weird things. And that happened a million times. And I started losing my mind because, like, I can't be stuck in this endless loop anymore. So I had the thought to go out and run in the street and kill my body so I could actually pass on and go to heaven and like leave.
No. Oh, no.
And I was like, I went to go outside and I got distracted because I was on drugs and I just started doing some other thing. But I kept thinking I had died, and the thought of being dead, and my girlfriend at the time, even though we had just broken up, but we were still, like, living together, my girlfriend, Siobhan Price, broke my heart. Just kidding. I mentioned, it's funny.
Before we started recording, you were like, it's my girlfriend, like, we're really good friends, like, everything's cool. And now you just name dropped her.
A lot of people out there probably know her. She's in the comedy world. I mentioned her all over and over on the Doughboys podcast, and then I called her as my phone in to help me with a question after I said that she broke my heart a million times.
Oh, no.
So that's, I guess it's my running gag on podcasts.
Yeah. I bet she's like, that's very funny.
Ruin her name.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I was upset, but I knew it was right, and I still am happy we're broken up. Yeah, so I'm single, everyone out there. Anyone want a banged-up, bald man, I'm available. Siobhan, at the time,
Sounds like the new Bad and Bougie, banged-up, bald man.
Banged-up, bald man.
Yeah, I like that. The remix. Yeah. So I realized, Seth, my brother, and Siobhan are here with me. That means they're the two most important people in my life. She must be my true love. I knew I was right. She was my true love.
Oh my God.
She's here to pass me on. And what was really happening was, because I kept thinking she was trying to get me to die and like saying it's okay. Because all she was saying was, it's okay, it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you ever deal with someone who's like on drugs super hard, I mean, it was just weed chocolate, but it felt like I was on acid or something.
Yeah.
It messed with me so much. Because I think I have a very active imagination. I still jump to my bed because I'm afraid something might grab me. It sounds horrible.
I do too.
Or stupid. I'm 35. I should have a wife and children.
Yeah. Sleep with stuffed animals.
I do too.
I do too.
I have a pound puppy named Booger. I've had him forever.
I have a blankie named Blankie.
Oh,
that
there you go.
I can't go any. I can't go
sleep
without
Blankie. And you're married?
You did
it?
Yeah.
Wow, how did you do it?
Yeah, but my husband also loves stuffed animals.
Yeah, okay,
you
cool.
just got to find someone who's just as regressed as you are, and then it normalizes it.
That's the plan, I guess. Well,
some girl jump off a roof and right into your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I used to always say. Me and my brother used to climb on top of this movie theater in Bellingham, Massachusetts. It's the Hoyts movie theater. And we had to like pinch ourselves between two walls and like basically crawl up
like
with our hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, very much like Spider-Man. And the only people who could see it happen would be people on the freeway that was right behind.
For a moment, what a bad day for them.
I know. They'd be like, this is a man climbing up that building. But we'd do it at night, so hopefully we could do it quick and no one would see, hopefully. And we'd get up there all the time and just hang out on top of this movie theater.
Yeah.
And what was my point? Oh, yeah. I would always say, the girl I'm going to marry will be the girl that I climb on top of a building and she's already there.
Yeah, she was
doing that
That's
on her
so
own.
That's so romantic.
It's like you're like sleepless in Seattle, right? Like she's like on the, she's, or no, the, maybe it's You Got Mail. The one where like, where you go up to the top of the Empire State Building and like the love of your life is waiting for you there.
Yeah,
like
you're just
you're going to jump off it and live off jumping off the Empire State Building, which no one else will do, but somehow you will only break a thumb, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, I hope.
So so you thought that your girlfriend at the time was ushering you to the next
Because she was, afterwards I realized, because she told me, she's like, I was trying to get you to concentrate on something. So she'd opened a laptop, her laptop, to like have me watch something.
Yeah.
Because that's what her brother was like, he needs to like focus on something because his mind's going crazy.
Yeah.
So to get him out of it, you just had to wait and let him like focus. So she opened this laptop and I saw a bright light and I was like, no. And I thought she's like, it's okay, look at this. And I was like, no.
Whoa,
why are you trying to kill me?
Oh my God.
I was so upset. So I got up and ran away. And then I went to my brother's room again. I think maybe I didn't. Like Seth was like, it was kind of freaky. First, he was laughing at it. He's never done drugs either. I never drank until I was 32. I'm 35 now. I never did anything. I was like a straight edge punk in high school. I was in a straight edge band with my brother. And I just never did anything. I'm not really interested in it still now.
Yeah.
I will never do drugs, that's for sure, ever again. I learned my lesson. That's not for me.
You're your own drug.
Really? Yeah. Like, I just don't need it. Mm-mm. So
no, I feel like all a drug is like taking a risk in the name of exhilaration, totally. And that is like what your life is.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, it's always like that. And I mean, that leads me to a whole other thing that I've been experiencing as of 2 weeks ago. It'll be a whole hour explanation. It's this weird nostalgic, almost spring fever, good, happy feeling I've been getting. And I can't figure out what it is, but it comes on when I think, well, I thought it was triggered by certain thoughts, but now I just realize it's just happening constantly, and I'm thinking of something at the time, and it's not related to that. It's amazing, though. But yeah, I don't need drugs. Something, I have a chemical imbalance in a good way.
What inspired you to try drinking and drugs at all, if you had like basically entered your adult life not having tried them?
The weed was definitely because I tried drinking a couple years earlier. I was like, well, I should try this. And it was like a gateway thing. It's like I am a cliche. It's like, oh, well, alcohol led to weed. Weed led to dying. I've learned my lesson. I know it's not for me. Yeah. Drinking, tried drinking. I never drank. I was never interested because I just didn't care. I didn't even know what it did. But that was sort of what got me started on wanting to try, because I didn't know what it did. I was like, what is being drunk? So, and everyone does it. It must be kind of cool. And I know I don't have an addictive personality, so I knew it wouldn't be a problem for me. I knew I'd probably just not like the taste of it, and I'd be like, oh, never mind. So I'd shattered my heel in Texas. I was doing a show. I would do this character, Keith Abercary, who like loves video games. And I do these conventions where he'll like play his songs in front of like a crowd and do like jokes and stuff. And I wanted to surprise the audience. This was in Dallas. I wanted to surprise them and like drop from the ceiling. And I got the idea because I've done it at UCB many times.
Yeah, that's the first time I ever saw you. A man just fell from the ceiling. Yeah, and it was you. It was like 8 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. It was at the Mike Mitchell show?
No, it was before that. It was like, was like the second time. And then the second time I saw you, fell from a ceiling too.
Yeah, I just came falling from the ceiling.
I
think
it was an up
show.
From
I used to go over the wall all the time, Jimmy.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was at an up show. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, that's just saw a man come flying in into the.
I think the first time I saw you, you were like on crutches and falling down a lot. Like, it was at UCB, like, but it was like it was like a character show or something where people were doing really short bits. I think it was,
I wonder if, did I have a big mattress with me?
Maybe. I don't, it was a long time ago.
The only thing I'm thinking of is a shabby where I brought like a million props, but that went like 10 minutes long.
It might have been a shabby.
I don't know. Yeah. I did like every single shabby from like the beginning. Well, as close as the beginning as like when I started showing up around 2006. I loved shabby.
I loved it too. It was not too shabby. Was the I mean, it still exists here at UCB at the Sunset
Theater. Right?
Yeah.
Who else hosts?
Holly.
But
it's like a show where you can like bring in a sketch you're working on and just sign up, and anybody can like workshop anything.
Yeah,
it's a really cool.
Oh, it's awesome. That's how I started UCB, and then Neil and Paul helped me out after that, and like got me hosting Herald Night and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love those days. That's like my I'd say those are my favorite years of living in Los Angeles for the past 11 years.
Yeah.
Was
riding
my bike from Santa Monica to UCB every Friday night with my brother. We'd ride
from
a bit.
Santa Monica?
Well, that was more than just Friday, because I'd ride for classes. That's all I had was a bicycle.
Oh!
For 8 years, that's all I did was ride my bike everywhere. And
you didn't drink, you didn't do drugs, you didn't drive.
Yeah, you had a lot of time to just ride your bike.
And I felt so good. I still feel really good, but like that much exercise, I think, just pumps too many like good endorphins or whatever you, and you're just like high on life.
Yeah.
So, and I just felt so satisfied with the bits, and everything went over so well at Shabby. I was like living the dream.
Ugh,
it was great.
So cool.
But then it all came crashing down when I shattered my heel, tried drugs, and drank alcohol.
Oh, no.
But I shattered my heel because I jumped from the ceiling. It was way too high. It was 14 feet. I shattered it like as soon as I landed. Didn't realize I shattered it. I was like,
You not realize it?
I just thought I hurt my ankle
because
I've never broken a bone at that point except for my thumb. And I was like, it's definitely not broken. I just sprained it.
Yeah.
So I stood up and I did the show for an hour on one foot. And during the show, I took my shoe off and my foot was enormous.
Oh,
It was like purple and black and blue. It was so gross looking. It looked like it was just so fat. It was like messed up. And people were like freaking out because I don't break character when I do these conventions. I stay in character for like 3 days. And
for three, wait, for days?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you go to sleep when you're by yourself? Only, do you go to sleep in character?
No, no. when I go to my room, it's the only moment I have where I take the glasses off. The glasses aren't my prescription. They hurt my eyes. I'm sweaty. I don't wash my armpits like the whole weekend. I smell real bad because I want to like be Keith. And when people like hug me and take pictures, I smell pretty bad. And it's like, oh, that's just Keith.
Are there people
care.
Who don't who think that you're just Keith?
Oh, definitely.
There's definitely people. Because people will meet me and go, hey, Keith, I love your videos. And people don't know who Nathan is. And I like that. Yeah. And
that's
I do all
cool.
these other characters. Keith is definitely the most popular. But I like people not knowing who I am. I think it's a little cooler. Like it's more like, you know, like Borat. You'd never see him
Sacha
talking out of character
like,
or break character. Yeah. You wouldn't see. I just don't like that. I think like, I like keeping that character real. So I shattered my heel and I couldn't drop character. So I was like, oops. And I just did the whole show on one foot
That's
and I was
crazy.
Diving into the crowd. And
oh
there were
gosh.
People, I could see the confusion because people who do know were like, wait. Is this what's happening right now?
Right. Yeah.
And then there were people there who like didn't really know the character who were just like watching like this is insane. This guy's nuts.
Yeah.
And then I went to the hospital. I didn't take the glasses off until a fan drove me to the hospital and I didn't take the glasses off or stop talking until I got into with the doctors.
Wow.
And then they were like, oh, your heel is shattered. You can't leave Texas because you can't get on a plane because if you do, you'll get a blood clot.
Oh, my God.
So I had to take blood thinners for 4 days. Siobhan, the one that broke my heart, before she broke my heart, she flew to Texas, gave me the blood thinners because I hate needles. I can't do needles. So she had to inject me with this blood thinners, get my blood thin, fly on the airplane home, and then had to get surgery like 2 weeks later.
Oh,
and
my God.
That actually, every time I fly on a plane now, they told me I had to keep getting up and like walking around and doing squats and things to keep my blood moving.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do that every time now I'm on the plane, even though my foot is fine.
Oh.
I'm still afraid of getting like a blood clot because it entered my mind. It's like, I don't want to get a blood clot. Like, what if it just happens because like, people talk about getting
somebody
blood clots.
Posted on Facebook like over the holidays that like she got a blood clot on a flight. And now whenever I fly, I'm always like, well, I guess maybe this will be the day I get a blood clot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because it happens often. Yeah. So and I was like, well, maybe I'm susceptible now that I've had like maybe my veins are kinked a little bit because of the plate they put in there.
Oh, sure.
Who knows what's going on? So I just get up all the time and I keep moving so I don't get a blood clot. But after I broke my heel, I had it fixed. I was Siobhan was out of town, and I was home alone with Frankie, the dog, her dog, my stepson. I still get this. He still visits me.
Yeah.
He and I were sitting there, and I was like, I want to try drinking. So I scooted my way on my knee scooter over to the co-op in Santa Monica. I lived like one block from the co-op, so I got this really fine wine, organic red wine. I didn't have any. I never had any alcohol. Didn't know what alcohol to drink. Siobhan had told me she in her like 20s, she's like used to party, and she's like, one time I drank a whole bottle of wine in a night, and she was like 5 feet tall.
Oh my
gosh. So I was like, oh, okay. Not realizing that was like a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, especially if you never had it ever in your life.
And she was like a seasoned drinker in her 20s. So I was like, oh, I'm bigger than her. I can do that. So I was like, I'll just get the whole thing, drink it. One in one shot.
No,
I don't want to drink it. So I plugged my nose.
Bad.
It tasted horrible.
Yeah.
I drink shots for that reason because you just like go, and then you're like wasted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good.
You
want
to just get it in. Mm-hmm. I don't like alcohol, any kind of alcohol. Mm-hmm. The only thing I've found that I do like when I drink the 2 times a year is to have 2 shots of absinthe.
What?
It tastes like black licorice. I like black licorice.
It's
different.
It's
very different.
Drinking style is like nothing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
before.
It's like never did it. Straight to absinthe.
Absinthe.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to try things, so I was like trying everything one time when I was like learning. I was going through my 20s at 32 years old, and I tried absinthe, and I was like, oh, this is cool. It doesn't taste like alcohol. It tastes like black licorice, and it gets me drunk. That's all I cared about. I didn't care about drinking for any other reason because I wanted the experience I never had. So
and it's a very unique drunk. It's not like the drunk that most people are going for. You know, like it's not a whiskey drunk. It really is more
is
like hallucinogenic.
Yeah, it's, I feel like I've never had it
It's
before.
Almost a drug.
I don't know the differences between drunks because I guess I haven't really done enough of it. But what happens to me most of the time is I cry, but not a sad cry. I cry a lot. I cry at movies all the time. I love to cry. It feels good. But it's not. I'm not sad.
No.
Like I just have emotions in me, I guess. And I cry because I'm so happy when I get drunk. And I'm just like, oh, this is so good. And I need to like film myself because I start rambling. And I'm always alone. I don't drink
with
people.
Only drink by yourself?
I've drank a couple times with people, but my friends don't drink. Like, all my friends, none of my friends drink.
Because do they? Because like, do they all jump off of buildings?
They don't anymore. But they're all. We all have the same mentality. So all my friends are from Massachusetts. A lot of them came out here. It's me, my brother, my friend Paul. That's like my main group. My friend Paul, who directs a lot of the stuff things that I do, and then Seth, my brother, he writes with me. So we're together like every day, and they're vegan. I'm borderline vegan, and they don't drink, do drugs. I've never. Yeah. We have very similar mentalities. We're not against it. We just never did it. So no one really does it that I'm friends with. But then those are my hometown friends that moved out here, and then my UCB friends. They all drink.
Yeah.
So I have drank with some comedy friends before, but not really. Most of the time, it's like I get the thought of I'll go drink, and I just walk up to this place. Get drunk and walk home, and it wears off by the time I get home. Huh. I have a fast metabolism. I've never been drunk for more than an hour.
What?
Yeah, even with the absinthe, the two shots of absinthe, it just wears off fast.
Yeah, well, the absinthe part surprises me, but isn't that the thing with alcohol? Like when they talk about that you should wait an hour to drink and then drive, and then you're kind of sober up.
So.
Like if you don't add to it, then probably. I think that's the main thing is that people like get that base drunk, and then they build on top of it.
Then you got to add to it to stay drunk.
If I drink, and I basically drink about as often as you drink, as soon as the drunk wears off, so like 1 hour later, I'm immediately hungover.
I've never had a hangover.
I feel like I could puke. I've got a headache. I just want to go to sleep. Yeah.
Wow.
When you drank that whole bottle of wine?
Ever. Never. Well, yeah. So the first time I drank, I should go back to that. And I've never had a hangover ever. And I don't know if it's because when I'm drinking absinthe or something, I take sips of water to chase it. I can't swallow the alcohol until this water cup is at my lips.
Oh.
I'm so afraid of it burning my mouth. Yeah. There's times where I've tested the waters. I'm like, okay, I won't take water. And it like burns. I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. I guess this is what people get used to. But I don't know why everyone would get used to that.
No, I don't know.
So bad. So,
I know. It's getting used to poison.
It's not meant to be bad juice.
Right. Yeah. it is a literal chemical or poison. Yeah.
It's like liquid fungus, yeah. I guess.
If you're like Mission Impossible, then you should like learn to adjust to small amounts of poison.
Yeah.
But like in
but
our
if you're
lives,
just like a regular person.
Everyone can drink poison.
Yeah, exactly.
College kids drink poison.
This isn't Princess Bride. We don't need to survive a riddle.
So I drank that whole bottle of wine. I plugged my nose, went over the sink, and I chugged a whole bottle of red wine.
Gosh.
And I sat there and waited, and I got super dizzy.
Yeah.
And that's what I've realized being drunk is for me, is I just feel dizzy.
Yeah.
And my mind is thinking straight, and I can think properly. And like I know everything that's happening, but I can't speak. I can't say my thoughts right because I just mumble. And I feel like I'm trapped inside this like – idiot machine. I'm like, I'm mad at my body. I'm like, say the words.
Yeah.
I'm like yelling at myself, going, what is wrong with you? So I'm like aware of how I'm drunk, but it's weird. It's like I'm trapped. Anyways, I'm having this inner body experience as I'm drunk. I filmed myself when I drank the red wine, and I watched the video after because I wanted to see what I was like.
Yeah.
Because I didn't remember, but I did remember it all. And what I did was I filmed a video where I was trying to get everyone to vote for Frankie, the dog. He was running for mayor of Muffinville. Because that's what me and Siobhan used to call him. He's the Muffin Man, and he's the mayor of Muffinville. And I was like, come on, everyone's going to vote. He's the best. No one's cuter than him, blah, 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 blah. And he's not really a cute dog. He's got, like, big, funky teeth that stick out of his mouth. I guess that, in a way, is his cuteness.
Yeah.
So anyways, after that, I drank every once in a while, and then it led to the weed, and I was like, I should try it. And now it's like maybe I've grown up. I went to my 20s at 32 and 33, and now I just don't really do much.
I'll say this about the weed thing, and I don't think you should try it again. I mean, there's no point. I mean, you described that at times you find yourself too happy. So, like, I was like, that's never been why I smoked weed.
Yeah.
I like to smoke weed because that is not my life. But I think that combination, the weed candy part, is maybe what threw you off because it is almost, those are almost hallucinogenic for the simple reason that, like, weed is sort of a downer and sugar is a major upper. And when you cross those things, especially if you're not used to, because I don't imagine, like, you're not somebody who, like, consumes a ton of sugar either, right? Like,
No, actually, I love.
You do?
I have a vending machine in my house filled with candy.
Oh, so scratch that.
A soda
your
machine.
Life is so whimsical.
You're like the sequel to Big.
It's funny because a lot of people have told me that. I'll mention like the three coolest things that I own. It just doesn't make me, but it's just the things I buy. But anyone could buy these things. It's not like cool that I have them, I guess. But I like them.
We'll be the judge of
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I have a 7-Up machine in my house from the 90s.
That's definitely cool.
That's
all right. Check one. Cool.
Yeah.
And then I guess, well, my whole garage is an arcade. I carpeted it and painted it. I have like arcade games and then the soda machines in there and stuff. But I had a tunnel tube slide coming off my bed at one point. That's how I would get out of my bed, is I would go out of a tube, like a playground plastic tube slide.
So
this is before
cool.
or after you were swinging from a rope.
Oh, yeah. Then I had the rope swing.
Yeah.
I had the 10-foot bed with the rope swing that went into the living room. That was cool. There was something else that I was like, oh, what was the other cool thing I had? The trap door out of the bed. That was all
that was
right.
Very cool.
Oh, maybe it's just the arcade was the vending machine, arcade, and then the rope swing, tunnel bed. Yeah, so people have told me after seeing all my stuff, they were like, oh, you're like big in real life. And I always forget that it's like, it's strange. It's strange enough that someone would want to make a movie about an adult doing these things when I think that's just what you do.
Yeah.
It's so strange that they felt like they had to add in a genie that would grant him the wish that allowed it to
not
happen.
Just, oh,
not just like,
no one would ever do this on their own.
You can behave however you want. There's no rules.
Look, no one would do this except for a child in a giant suit. Yes. That's just the only one who's pulling this off.
I feel like, oh, you moved out. Now you can do all. You can use the stove. You can have a slide in your house. You
sugar cereal every day.
You're making your own money. Like you should. I think like it's like it makes perfect sense to me that you don't love drinking and drugs because it's like you have like figured out that when you're an adult you can do whatever you please and that is what's fun.
Yeah.
Other people are like, ooh, I gotta poison myself into relaxing and maybe I'll dance.
Yeah. I think it's when you grow up you stop. Mm-hmm. It just kind of shuts off. And I'm lucky enough, I guess, where it just didn't shut off and it went harder.
And I think on top of that, like I think as you become an adult and you have this feeling, I want to have that same sensation as if I was doing things, but I want to sit on a couch. And then you start drinking or doing drugs.
Yeah.
But if you just attached a rope to your bed, you wouldn't need the drugs.
Yeah.
Just swing off your bed.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
But I mean, it is just like you're actually willing to do the thing that it takes to have that like rush of dopamine, those like endorphins.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to just like finding what's the word I'm looking for? Simulating that feeling.
Yeah. What okay, so but you are afraid of being murdered.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing I'm afraid of. Well, so I do have hypochondria where I get injured a lot. I'm trying to segue into the murder thing here.
Well, you don't have. I mean, you can say whatever.
I do have regular hypochondria, very badly.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
The weed thing was just that's like a whole separate thing where I thought I had died, but before that,
it's just like a separate thing.
My friend Paul and I were always like, "Oh, what does that mean?" I get hurt all the time from doing the stunts and stuff, and I don't ever think, "Oh, it's because I fell off a roof." You landed in a dumpster. I think whenever I have back pain or like something wrong with my back, I go to a chiropractor. I get acupuncture very often. I think, "Oh, what if it's cancer?" Because I remember what was the movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
50-50.
Yeah, he had back pain.
Yeah.
And that was like the first sign.
That was lung cancer.
I always think, oh my God, what if it's cancer? My leg went numb a couple years ago. I couldn't walk. My brother had to drive me around. I had to lay in the back of the car. I couldn't get it fixed. I went to a physical therapist and the chiropractors. It just didn't work. And I went to the hospital and they were like, oh, she told me my S1 nerve, my S something nerve was being pinched by my hips.
Huh.
And then it just took like a month of adjustments to come undone. My arm was numb for 6 months last year. The most pain I've ever felt, more painful than shattering my heel, which felt like a dump truck was parked on my foot. My arm going numb was because of a pinched disc, bulging disc, pinching a nerve in my neck. I couldn't feel any of my fingers.
Oh.
I'd like whack them on the table to try to get like sensation.
Oh, that's so scary.
It was horrible. I had to get a CAT scan and I got out of it. I was like, I can't lay in there anymore. She's like, you have to stay as still as you can. I physically couldn't. I was in there screaming.
Oh my gosh.
Because for staying still in the position they needed me in was so painful.
And you're like, people feel claustrophobic.
Have you had a CAT scan?
No, I haven't, but I've just heard that and MRIs that people freak out when they go inside those machines.
It seems scary. Yeah.
I felt
claustrophobic at first, and then I just didn't even care about that because I was focusing on how sharp this pain was in my arm. But then I got that fixed by getting prolotherapy. Have you ever heard of
that?
No,
what is
that? They inject sugar water into your neck.
What?
And it makes – because like the inside of your neck muscles and all the webbing that holds everything together and all that stuff
–
it can't heal if it's been messed up, or because I do a lot of like violently shaking my body around for some bits, and look like basically like I'm getting electrocuted, and all that like headbanging and whiplashing is like it's stretching out things.
Yeah.
It can't heal. It's like when you get a cut in your finger, the cut tells your body, oh, heal, the blood, the bleeding, it scabs and it heals.
Oh, yeah.
When it's inside, it doesn't get a cut. It just gets stretched and beat up and stays that way. So that's how he explained it to me.
Sure.
So by the sheer injection, your body thinks, oh, an injury, I'll start healing. And then they inject sugar water, saline, just because they don't need to inject anything, like any medicine. It's just to have your body think there's a foreign thing in me and I need to flush it out.
Yeah.
And it starts healing. So I did that. You do it once a month for 4 months, mm-hmm. and it changed my life.
Really?
Wow. It's unbelievable. And it's like a Western medicine, so it's like my insurance didn't cover anything and people don't like – you know, doctors don't say it's good, but it worked. A chiropractor told me about it. She got in a car accident and she got it. She had like horrible pains from getting smashed into, and this fixed her. I don't remember how I got onto this and where I was going, but yeah, prolotherapy.
Oh, about thinking you have cancer.
Oh yeah. So I had the back pain. I always think, oh, I have cancer. Oh, yeah. I have this. Like I always think it's bigger than what it is.
Mm-hmm. Do you think
and it's rooted in something? It's just a ignorant fear, I guess.
Yeah, but it's also like interesting because. Well, okay, so do you ever ask yourself, like, is it worth it? Like
the physical comedy?
Yeah.
I do think that. And people always say to me, they're like, oh, you know, you're going to be, like, really messed up, like Chevy Chase or whatever in your when you're old.
Oh, did he
and
get messed up because of
doing
physical comedy?
Well, people say he's,
comedy?
Like, messed up now. Mm-hmm. And everyone says, this is the thing, everyone says Chevy Chase is such a great physical comedian. I've searched.
I don't remember anything.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I've looked and looked and looked, and I don't see anything.
Right.
I mean, another normal comedian, because everyone does a little bit of physical comedy in their career. And
but
I never saw anything.
Weekend Update guy.
Yeah.
The only thing
he literally sits in a seat.
Yeah, he like sits in an RV for all those movies.
Yeah, he will not stand for anything.
You see him in Christmas
Vacation.
He's
literally in a wheelchair for seasons of Community.
Right?
I've seen him sitting more than I've ever seen him even standing.
He's like the Franklin Delano Roosevelt of comedy. Like, there's just a chance that he has polio and he can't walk. But in order to make him seem like this sanctimonious figure...
People invented a whole career of physical comedy.
That's what I don't understand. Maybe at the time in the 70s or whatever, no one was doing physical comedy at the time, I guess. It's weird to me.
But like you would call Steve Martin a physical comedian.
Yeah, he did a lot of
And they
of
were like the same
stuff.
Time, right?
Yeah.
That's very strange. You're
There's
absolutely
many
right.
other people that were doing physical comedy, but everyone always says to me, that, I don't know why they say that, but it's like, oh, you're going to be hurting like Chevy Chase. I'm like, okay. But I am not hurting yet. I feel okay, but maybe it will catch up to me. So I'm not really worried about that. But I was trying to segue into the whole murder thing because that I think is my personality does always fear something. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be bad.
Yeah.
What is this? My friend Paul and I will have like weird pains, and he'll be like, oh, do you think it's like maybe like a heart murmur, like you're having some sort of a young heart attack or something?
Do you feel fear when you're like standing on a 14-foot roof and about to fall? So that is so
and
interesting.
I never fear that. I don't
because
I'm in control of that.
Yeah, that feels like what it is.
And I'm confident.
Like cancer can just come out of nowhere and get any of us. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
Like any level of health.
It's like you experience more anxiety than actual fear.
I guess
fear.
So. I think I get it from my mom because my mom is afraid of her kids dying all the time.
Really?
She wakes up every night when I was living at home. She would wake up going, and she wakes up, shrieks, goes, Tom. That's my dad's name.
Whoa.
Tom. She goes, Tom, where are the kids?
What?
And he's like, they're in bed. It's fine. It's fine. And we always heard her because she's just afraid of us dying. And she still does it to this
Your
day.
Your poor mom.
She just is
she
a nervous
couldn't
wreck.
Have two more reckless
oh,
children.
She hates the videos.
That's terrible.
She hates when she sees me doing things. In one video, I'm hanging out of my car only by my feet. My head is less than an inch from Santa Monica Boulevard. Car is driving down Santa Monica Boulevard with traffic all around. It was for a video. It's called Driving Like Vince Diesel, if anyone wants to go check it out. It got flagged and you have to sign into YouTube because it's too dangerous for young audiences. But the only way to do it was to do it.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the things I do are a little more dangerous than like actual Hollywood stuntmen because I do it without a person there helping me.
Yeah.
No nets, no wires. I just kind of have to do it. And then maybe someday I'll do things safely when I get paid to do big stunts. But you kind of just got to do it. And my mom hates it. It freaks her out big time. But all my fears don't come from that because I feel like, oh, no, I know I can do this. I just know I can do it. I can handle it. I'm fine. But what I get scared is when I don't know what's happening.
Sure.
I went to the hospital recently because I thought – I asked my mom. I was like, what – I thought I had blood poisoning because I had like this – bruise from falling.
Yeah.
But it was turning a weird color. It was like really black, and I could see like black veins and stuff, and it just looked like it was spidering out. And I was like, oh, that looks like blood poisoning.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and I didn't know if like metal had gotten in me or something. So I just couldn't not go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So I just went to the hospital, and they're like, nope, it's just a bruise. And I had to pay him like whatever, $100 to get it checked. So I get afraid of things I just don't understand.
How long were you able to put off going to the hospital before like you just couldn't? Because that's me. Like once it consumes me, I have to go.
Yeah.
But up until that point, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna jumping off of a roof in order to distract your mind from. I'll do whatever I can do to distract my mind until I can't. And then like I just have to go immediately.
I go like that day pretty much.
Okay.
I go right away. I cut my brother to go to the hospital recently. I forget what it was for. He didn't want to go, and I was like, you should probably get it checked. And I got him worried about it, and then he went, what the heck was that for? It was the first – he got the Obamacare, and I was like, you have insurance. You got to go use it.
Yeah.
So he went, and it was nothing. But yeah, I'm always just afraid. I just think everyone should go to the hospital all the time.
I'm always going to the hospital.
You just may as well.
It's never anything.
It's never.
Yeah.
That's what'll kill you is like the anxiety.
Yeah.
If I bring something on, it'll cause like stress.
Well, it's it's fascinating to me that like just like you're like the perfect extreme example of like the difference between like fear and worry, just because like the fact that you do everything that you do like makes me think that you're pretty fearless, really.
But then
that you can simultaneously have so much worry about like what, like just the unknown,
you know,
because it's like it's nuts to me that you could like throw yourself off a building and then be like, what is this bruise?
Right.
Also
the needles.
Because that's my ignorance. If I was, what is it? Dr. MD, medical MD? What is that website?
WebMD.
WebMD, yeah.
Siobhan got me into that because she loves researching like what things are. And
she really did ruin your life.
Yeah,
didn't she? I guess it helps to be informed, and that's what I'm not. I'm not smart, so I don't know what's happening. And the more I knew, I would just be like, oh, okay. She did put me at ease a lot of times, too,
because
Siobhan would research so much medical.
Yeah.
She has Crohn's disease, so she always is like, you know, worrying about health and stuff.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, you're fine. This is that. And it was just nice having someone smart around that, like, knew more. But I don't know anything, so that makes me worry. But the whole being murdered thing, I guess I'd say is my biggest hypochondria, if that is a hypochondria.
I consider it to be. We've talked a little bit. We had one other person, I think, who was scared of being murdered, right?
At least one.
Yeah, at least. Was it Darcy?
Darcy? It was Darcy,
Darcy. Tell me about Cardin.
Oh, okay. Oh, she has that fear?
Yeah, she's scared of being murdered, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, we all are, but acutely, yes. Yeah.
That was, like, the first thing she brought up. Like, you know, when other people are like, I don't want to have cancer, she was like, I'm... Really? It gets scared about being murdered.
Well, I have it for a couple of reasons. One, the basic reason, the one that I had first, then, real life instances then caused me to think, oh, this person right now is going to murder me because
it
was very likely they were going to murder me. Yeah. Well, that was bad.
Wait, you almost got murdered?
We all thought so. We thought this person is going to murder all of us. Whoa. We're screwed. We can't get out of here.
You and your friend crew.
Me and my friend crew. It was me, Siobhan, our friend from Atlanta, Paul, my brother. I'm trying to do this thing where I redo Buster Keaton's, some of his best stunts and stuff.
That's
and I want to
so
do
cool.
them in the locations he did them.
Oh,
and there's
awesome.
This scene at the end of, is it The Seven Brides? Is that what it's called? I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's a movie, Buster Keaton's movie, where all these brides want to marry him because he has like money or something. And at the end, he's running from all these women. And he does this whole little like moment at the end where he jumps this little canyon, this little gap in like a desert area.
Uh-huh.
He jumps from one cliff to another. It's a small little gap. And then he does like these front flip somersaults down this hill, and I wanted to go find that spot, and apparently it's to where it is. I find it on like the GPS map, and it's like, oh, it's right over here. So then we had to like go to these service roads to get to it.
Gosh,
this is bad. So there was a gate that says like park closed, but then I looked inside the gate and I figured out how to unlock it.
What?
There was like all these, there was like 8 padlocks on it, but you could spin this thing inside the gate to like reveal, like to expose the one that wasn't locked. And when it was lined up that way, you could open it. So I opened it. I was like, oh, I'll just say it was opened since I made it open. I could just say something else.
Yeah.
So we went in, drove through, couldn't find the spot. And then there was another gate where it said private property do not enter. And I thought it was just the state park people doing it again or whatever, the highway patrol or whatever.
Yeah.
And I pushed the gate open. It wasn't locked and drove through. Uh-oh. And we were in a Range Rover at the time. That didn't help our situation. We got into this big area.
Subtle car, Range Rover.
Yeah, I know. We got into this area where it was like this abandoned water tower. It was a not in service way station, like a very destroyed way station off of we went all the way up, drove up through this like this windy road around the water tower, and then we got to this like area with all these like Breaking Bad type wagon, whatever, not wagons, Winnebagos.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
A lot of them.
Whoa.
And cars on cinder blocks, dirt bikes, like an active
like a squatter
hangout,
camp?
Squatter
like,
area.
Yeah.
And there were all curtains in the Winnebagos.
Ooh, yep.
And we're like, we'll just keep driving through here. And I was like, oh, we'll make it through there, and then we'll go up the hill, and I think that's where the point is. And then we got to this point where we couldn't go any farther, and it was like – it was in their camp.
Oh,
so
shit.
I was like, okay, I'm just going to run up the hill. We couldn't tell. We didn't see anyone. So I was like, I'm just going to run up the hill, see if I see the spot. And I couldn't see it. And we kept running. And I was like, we got to get out of here. I was nervous. And then we saw all these dirt bikes, this four-wheeler, old truck. And my brother's going to kill me for mentioning this. We all have this fear now that these people will hear me say this someday, find out who I am.
Oh, no.
It's crazy. That's another
Do you think they'll listen to our podcast?
I highly doubt
it. I honestly have a bunch of dirt bikers from you could tell them to come find me.
Well, do you know the
Madeline? What are you doing?
Yeah, okay. Why are you? Thank you for sacrificing yourself.
Yeah. That's how much I want to hear the rest of the story.
I want to hear it too.
Boys,
not calling
you can
on the
murder me. Email me. I'll send you my address.
I'd like to hear the rest of the story, but
prophecy.
Squatter method.
Well, these guys came up to us and blocked our car in, wouldn't let us leave. I was nervous. About the two girls that were with us, I was like, oh no, what's going to happen? These guys all looked very dangerous.
Yeah.
Very sketchy. This guy had the craziest eyes I'd ever seen. Like, when they talk about crazy eyes, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing.
This guy was screaming at me. He goes, you're done. You guys are done.
Oh,
get
no.
in your car. And he goes, I'm calling the cops. And he called someone, was not the cops.
Yeah.
And he was like, what do I do? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, you don't talk to the cops like that. So we called 911. It went over the Bluetooth really loud in the car.
No.
So I like hung up.
Because
you could hear 911 was emergency from outside the car.
Over your Bluetooth in your Range Rover.
And that's not a car I would describe myself as driving. It was a very small Range Rover. I had it for maybe 9 months. And I realized, this is embarrassing. Why do I have this? It was just a car I saw and I liked. I did a big commercial at the time. And I was like, I'm going to get a Range Rover. Couldn't afford it after 9 months. Felt embarrassed driving it every day. Yeah. So I was like, I need to get rid of this. And now I drive a really old small car from 1972. That's nice. More my style.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That does sound more your style.
Yeah.
That car that people like this probably despise because it looks like, who are these white kids in this rich car? They probably thought it was some privileged a-hole coming in here. They weren't happy. This guy, called 911, hung up. We thought they're going to call back. Thinking something, we're like, because the only thing we said was, we can't get out. Someone's block was trapping us, and then we hung up.
Shit.
And he goes, you get out of the car.
No.
I was like, oh no. So he had me get out of the car, start screaming at me. He goes, what are you doing in here? I go, I'm trying to find this location. It was in a video. We're leaving. We just want to leave. I didn't want to say we didn't see anything, which I went instinct sort of be like, I don't know what's going on here. But then that would admit that maybe
that
something is happening.
So
I just like, we want to leave. I'm so sorry. We didn't know. He goes, how'd you get in here? We go, the gate was open. He goes, there's no way that gate was open. He told me to get back in my car. He goes, follow this guy. So we followed this guy in his truck. The dirt bike, the guy on the four-wheeler got right behind me on my bumper. It was, like, staring at me in my rearview mirror.
Oh,
and we're driving out after, like, this is, like, I'm just jumping here.
Yeah.
But everyone was in the car. We're driving out, and then they start taking us down this other road, other way.
No.
And then everyone's like, this isn't the way out. Where are they taking us? I thought they were going to kill us because we saw something.
Yeah, because they're taking you somewhere to kill you.
To get rid of us. And then they'll burn us or something. I really, really thought that. And, like, when Breaking Bad is on TV, does your mind think things? Sure. And it's a very realistic portrayal of the underworld. I was like, well, I'm just going to rip it and go the other way and step on the gas and mash the gate that we came through. I'll ruin the car, but at least I'll save our lives. So I stepped on the gas, went right. The guy in the four-wheeler chases after me. Pulls in front of me, does a 180 e-brake turn, slides, and he's facing me now right through my windshield. He goes, what the F are you doing? I was like, I don't know where that guy's taking us. I go, we're going the way we came. He goes, no. He goes, go this way. And I was like, I don't know where that goes. He goes, we're taking you out. And I was like, I don't believe you.
That's our fear. You're taking us out.
Yeah, you're going to kill us.
Literally taking us out. Oh, my gosh.
And then I turned around, went up slowly, to like, we couldn't see where we were going because we were going up this hill onto this horizon. Gosh. And then I saw it was another gate to another road. I got relieved. Then he pulls up in his car and he goes, you get out of the car.
No.
He goes, get behind the car. And my brother was like, no, he's not getting out of the car. And he's like, why do you want him to get out of the car? And I saw he had his phone in his hand. So I was like, oh, he probably just wants to take a picture of me to have an image of me. And he did. And I got out of the car.
He took a picture
of me next to my license plate. And that's what starts now my hypochondria of being murdered, because he has my image and my license plate number.
Oh,
and I feel like if you need to, and whoever this guy works for, if it's the cartel or whoever it is, drug organization, they can find out who someone is with face recognition and a license plate. You know?
Also, your face is all over the place.
All over the place. Yeah. I had my glasses and my hat on,
terrible.
So I'm like, okay, maybe I look a little different.
Should we not put this on the podcast?
Well, it's funny because my brother's going to kill me for talking about this.
We could take it out if
No, don't worry about it, because I know they're not going to hear it. I did an episode. You know the Game Grumps? You ever heard of them?
Yeah.
They're YouTube gaming guys. I was on an episode of that, and I told the whole story. Well, my brother and my friend Paul were like, why did you do that? Tell him not to put it up. So I told him not to put it up. And I've since been like, no, I'm living in fear. It's not a big deal, because we all went crazy that day. And I know this for a fact. Now, watch, we're all going to get murdered.
I know.
And, it's because like,
wait, when you say all, do you mean us too?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
now you're going
like
down with
me. Maybe they have a Google alert for your name and this will come up and they'll be like.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If
you
they
know,
because
it'll come. Well, if they have a Google alert. But I mean, I don't know why they didn't just like go to some set that you were
on
and murder
you. They should have just gone to my house.
Yeah,
that's
what
I think. Well, that's what started the fear. We got out of there. Everything was fine. Geez. I sold the car very soon after because I was like, I can't have this car anymore. This is not.
Do you have different plates?
I have a whole new identity.
Yeah.
The car is gone, and so is the license plate number. But in that time when I had the car, I couldn't sleep at night because I kept imagining.
I hear
things on my roof, and there's like a large squirrel or something up on my roof. I don't know what it is. It sounds like a man every time. I kept picturing a man on the roof, over my bed, pointing a gun with heat sensors, sensing where I am in the room, seeing me, and pointing a gun straight down and shooting me.
Oh my gosh.
So I lay in bed, and I'd roll to each side of the bed when I'm in my height of my paranoia, and I would roll around the bed so he couldn't get me. He couldn't shoot me. And then, like, I'd be squirming around too much until eventually I get too tired and I go to sleep. And then there were many nights where I get out of my bed, go out into the living room if I hear something.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm sort of defenseless if they're looking in and they can see me and I'm just in here without a gun. And that was also a thing that happened to me when I had done the weed. I thought I had a moment of seeing a guy in the window pointing a gun at me, shooting me and killing me.
No.
And this was before the whole incident of us being trapped in that place.
Oh, no.
So I just had this fear of someone shooting me. That's also brought on because I get nervous about going to these conventions. The thing I was going to say, I keep cutting myself off. Well, I get out of my bed and I go and I hear a noise outside. I go into the living room and I can't really see outside because it's dark. So I do this thing where I like throw my hands in the air like, psh, I don't care. I'm not scared of you. So I try to do this whole body language thing to make the person who's about to kill me realize, oh, he's not scared of me. I'm not going to kill him now. What's the point? So it's the only defense I have is to act tough.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I look like a lunatic because if someone came out, they'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm acting tough to no one. I'm alone like a lunatic.
Yeah.
So I have this like overwhelming fear of someone killing me. And I hear stories about like last year some girl who was like some YouTuber. She wasn't a YouTuber. She was a singer. She was greeting fans after her show, and a kid came up to her and just shot her in the head.
No.
And she was like insanely famous, the singer girl, and she just got killed. And I get nervous that like someone who watches my videos at a convention, I do a lot of conventions in like Florida and stuff, like someone might be like, oh, Keith Apicary, he's crazy. He does all these crazy stunts. I'm crazy too. I'll kill him. That's perfect for him.
Oh, that's like
that's
the
perfect
ultimate
out for
stunt.
Him is
yeah.
to kill this crazy guy. I shouldn't be saying this now because
no,
someone's going to hear
I
it and be like, ooh,
honestly,
good idea.
I feel nervous about putting any of this on the podcast.
Oh, no.
I feel like
feel
these
bad.
People who you found it.
Yeah. You can bleep
can
that
we bleep out?
Out
like the way yeah where
and
it is.
I mentioned the let's highway. Just, yeah. Maybe bleep that. This is like gonna be the most yeah. censored episode.
Well, I think but I honestly Zig. I think it's smart. I don't think we should put that information out there because I'm just as crazy
I mean,
as you
that's,
are
that's,
and I'm
that's the whole theme of
yeah.
the podcast.
I'm, yeah,
too,
I got
I'm
too
the same
scared.
I'm saying
yeah.
Zig, what you're gonna do is for this entire episode, every seventh word bleep it.
yeah.
every seventh word. If we get eight, I'm gonna hear it, Zig. I'm
Maybe
gonna hear it.
Maybe we should release it under a pseudonym.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, let's
we'll
put
make up a name.
Let's say
I'm trying to turn Barnett and
Bathe
Barney.
In Narnat.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bathe in
Barnett. Isn't that like? But isn't that like your?
About,
that used to be my Instagram. Now
how
it's just
about
made
Barney Loretz?
Barney Loretz.
I like that.
Oh, this is a great one.
Can we make yeah, the
yeah.
episode
or just, yeah, with
just
Barney
put
Loretz.
Like yeah. Mike Mitchell or something? Yeah. you know, some generic name like that.
Just get like someone like Mike Mitchell and then get Mitch's license plate number real quick, and we can like put the episode description Mike Mitchell license plate.
What we'll do is we'll just bleep every name except for Siobhan.
Yeah, yeah. Leave that name in there for sure.
That is legitimately so scary. I can't believe
it. It is really scary.
It is, it is a little nerve-wracking. But yeah. My friend afterwards, who has dealt in some sketchy business, told me that it's a lot of metal scrapping that goes on out there. He said that it was probably just people thinking we're going to be stealing their stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. That's all it is. Because he has property in the desert, my friend. And he just go. It's like just in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. It's just like a trailer he has, and he just goes and hangs out there because he likes to be in the desert. And like people will come out on dirt bikes and stuff, and just like try to rob him.
Yeah. Oh,
so they probably thought they were out
there
to rob
them. The desert is scary.
It really is.
It is scary.
Yeah.
It is.
There, it's like the I feel like the last like lawless land that exists
is
the desert.
I shot a thing recently. It's a video for a band called The Midnight. His song is called Gloria. If anyone wants to check it out, I shot with Phoebe Neidhart.
Oh, cool,
I mentioned
cool.
her earlier. I was nervous being out there because I went out there a few times to scout, and it is sketchy out there. We were out in Palmdale, really far away. We're right down the street from the Kill Bill Church.
Mm. Oh, nice.
And every time I went out there, everyone I saw was like coming out of the middle of nowhere in a truck. Like, where did you come from? Or a van.
Yeah.
And I was like nervous about going out there with a camera crew and having us get robbed. We had a state trooper with us, which was good.
Oh, nice.
But I had originally planned on just going out and doing it like I normally do, just shooting it. With just a couple of friends, but the desert is scary.
It's
actually,
very
that's
scary.
A good. I'm. Gonna, I feel like I was thinking about stealing a couple of shots in the desert recently, and I think I'm going to be safe about it now. Because I always feel palpably scared.
Oh yeah,
when you're driving through like those parts of Joshua Tree. Where
Just
like where you're like, if somebody lives here,
it's
for a reason.
Yeah.
And that reason is probably like. A sinister one.
At best, the reason's peyote, and at worst, the reason is meth. The range of possibilities. They're all, none of them are good reasons.
They're on that scale between peyote and meth.
It is such a real thing now. Like, meth is such a big thing now.
Yeah.
And, like, other hard drugs, it's like, well, it is a good chance. Bombay Beach.
Bombay Beach is scary as hell.
I've gone there many times now, and the first time I went there, I was alone. I was like, oh, no. I'm going to get robbed. And it's just, I feel like an ignorant, privileged white person who lived in a bubble my whole life because I'm like, I shouldn't be judging people just because, like, their houses aren't as nice and they live in trailers. Like, who cares? But you can't not think
because
there are squatters there.
Yeah.
There are people who are up to no good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, like, people are like, ooh, let me take some photos of that sweet graffiti.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, honestly, like,
and you're,
we
like,
should be robbed.
A joke
maybe?
Away out of their location.
Like,
by, like,
isn't this edgy? Like, look at this abandoned house. Mm-hmm.
It's a little rude in a way.
Yeah, I think it's
like,
super
oh,
rude.
Your house is so trashy. I want to take a picture of it and show everyone how broken it is.
Yeah.
And then they'll come out and shoot you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not super different from when we just. Like, take a picture of an ugly person at, like, the airport or whatever and then say, like, look at this dummy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's
horrible.
Yeah. It's a rude thing to
do. That's what you do in high school when, like, mullets were really funny.
Yeah, mullets. We us too. And rapist vans.
And the guy's like, this is my sweet van. Why are you making fun of it?
I don't know, because it has
bubble
windows on it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was harder to take a picture.
It was.
You're really going out of your way to make fun of someone.
Yeah.
You had to take, like, a class.
To go in the dark room. Oh, we need to wait a week. Get it out just to be like, look at that fucking guy.
It was your art. Nathan, we had so much fun talking to you that we ran out of time to play even our game.
Oh, no.
Can we play it fast? Okay, so this is, so we've played some different versions of Would You Rather on this podcast. Like, we've had some, like, Would You Rather allergy editions, like, you know, where you have to, like, choose which allergy you would like to have. And so we made a special Would You Rather for you, which is Would You Rather Tax edition. Not tax, like, T-A-X, tax, like, T-A-C-K-S. Because we figure you do a lot of, like, physical comedy and you endure a lot of pain.
Yeah.
So we just have, like, five scenarios in which you tell us which tack situation you would rather engage in.
Okay, meaning like a tack in my body type thing?
Well, yeah, so the first one is, would you rather sit on three tacks or step on three tacks?
Yeah. Sit, for sure.
Okay,
sit.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it doesn't hurt your butt.
Because your butt is...
Oh, because your butt's like meatier. Yeah, it's like, yeah,
totally.
That's, see, I learned something from that.
I would have sat on them too, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I would have sat on them too.
I've had a nail through the
foot.
Yeah,
sit on a tack, you wise guy.
A nail in the foot is bad. Yeah, that's terrible. Isn't as bad, but...
And then you get tetanus.
You get tetanus. You don't get tetanus in the butt.
No, you don't.
Do you not?
No, I don't know. Tetanus is like, ew, I don't want to go there.
Okay, would you rather swallow tacks or put tacks up your butt?
Oh, my God. Oh.
And the general number also is three.
Three, yeah. Like
three. Would you rather swallow three tags or put three tags?
I would swallow. I have a fear of even wiping my butt.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I hate it. Well,
you got to come back to
it's a whole other,
you hate to wipe your butt?
I had an alien poop.
What?
It ruined my life.
Wait, what is alien poop?
It was a poop I could not get out, and I finally did, and it was traumatic, and I had to get medical wipes afterwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. I told the story recently at Lindsay Ames's diary show at the Riot Comedy Festival last week, and I never told, like, a big audience, and I didn't realize how graphic it was. It was horrible. It was horrible. It was with Siobhan the day after she broke up with me.
You had that's when you had the alien poop?
In a yoga studio at a Crohn's meetup. So all these people with digestive issues. I was in all these yoga positions, butt naked, sweating on a public bathroom floor, trying to get this thing out. And I basically, in the end, pooped a huge thing onto the floor of this public bathroom while squatting. Because I had, like, five bags of peach rings that week, like every day. I
love the gummy candy.
Gummy candy.
Yeah. I have a 5-pound bag of peach rings
you
in my house
not.
Right now. I do.
Wow.
Because I love peach rings.
I love peach rings.
Ah,
they're the best.
I love them so much. My father-in-law knows how much I love them, and he Amazoned me a 5-pound.
Wow.
It's so big I have
That's
to keep it next to our cat food because it's too big to fit in any other cabinet.
Oh, I didn't know they came that many.
Oh, but I got to be careful because I don't want to have – I don't want to get a stuck poop.
Yeah, well, what came out was these black – balls.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We packed together, and right behind it was like a fine line of dark black poop to super light brown poop. It was it looked like a cornucopia. Yeah, it came out of me. It was so big. It was wrapped around
this
my
this
it was
honestly
like almost 2 feet
I'm in heaven
long.
Right now. I love peach rings, and I love poop.
Well, take it easy, because it can
like
clog you up.
It's like your poop had its aura picture taken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Your poop went to Coachella, and I went to an aura photo.
Little body, mind, and spirit of your poop.
So, yeah, I don't like going near my butt anymore.
Okay, would you rather get stabbed in the eye one time by a tack or shot 3 times out of, like, kind of a BB gun?
Yeah, yeah.
Shot, for sure.
Yeah, the eye is the problem.
That
is
horrible.
The eye.
I don't want to lose.
Okay, would you rather have a 20-minute tack shower or a full night of tack sleep?
That's my favorite. I'd like to just put that one in the head of hypochondria.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think I could handle the shower more because I can endure things for a while.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I don't like. I wouldn't be asleep. That's so long.
Like, you'd never
never
be comfortable
sleep.
Enough. To...
I had Skittles dropped on me from, like, 10 feet up, and they hurt so bad.
Sure.
Oh,
especially when you're bald.
I remember.
They hurt so bad.
That was a good video.
And I could deal with it. It was killing me, and I dealt with it. So I think the tax I could maybe.
Okay.
Because they're not as heavy.
That's the Skittle Boombox video?
Yeah, that one?
Yeah.
That's a
great
cool
video.
Yeah.
There's a lot of videos to check.
I know. You got to check out these videos.
They sent me a palette of 30 30-pound boxes of loose Skittles, not even in the bags, just straight-up boxes. I ended up giving them away for wedding presents. So I had, like, half the pallet was dumped on me for this video.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Madeline.
That's so funny.
Madeline, don't announce that you like that or you're going to get a pallet.
Oh, I'll get
know,
Amazon.
I'll get
you some Skittles.
I love Skittles.
I wish I had a whole deal with peach rings, but unfortunately it's just Skittles. I would trade Skittles for peach rings any day.
Well, hey, the two of you, hang out.
Yeah, we should trade candy.
I know. I also don't really like drinking or drugs, too, so we should just get together and
eat tons of candy. We can empty my vending machine.
I've also had pitch black poop.
Really?
But it was after I went to New Orleans. I think I ate, like, too much fried food. But it was also, like, it was... voodoo poop, I think we called it.
Voodoo poop, that's a good name.
Okay, the last question. I think I know the answer to this, so now it feels a little redundant. Would you rather have pants made of tacks or shoes full of tacks?
Pants, for sure.
Yeah. Pants made of tacks.
Yeah, I think pants made of tacks.
But really, because it's close to your wiener.
My wiener, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I have a strong wiener.
Well, on that note, anything you want to plug real quick?
I guess just anything online. That video I mentioned, Gloria, Phoebe Neidhart, another fellow comedian fans might know her. She's in it, and... that is something I put up recently in a series called Skateboard.
How do you spell board?
Yeah. Board, B-O-R-E-D. it's a new series I started. I'm putting a second episode up, and I'm putting some effort into this one. So it's a new character I started doing. It's Skateboard and Gloria, if you want to look those up. Or just look at anything. If you look at Elf, thank you for even just looking my name up.
Yeah.
Unless you're someone we won't talk about. You're someone who shall not be named.
This episode is going to be so bleached and blurred.
It'll be amazing.
Just air it backwards. So it's like, we're here already.
You want to give them your Twitter and Instagram?
Oh, yeah. It's just my name, Nathan Barn, A-T-T, Barnat, at everything.com. Like Twitter, Instagram.
Nice.
I fall down a lot. If you want to see someone getting hurt, you can see me do it.
They're great videos. He's a great performer in every way. And we we're so happy to have you
on the show. Thank you for having me.
You got to come back and tell us more.
I would love to.
It feels like you have several hours more that we could go through. Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Especially after we bleep this whole episode. We need to get you back in.
Yeah. Well, anytime.
Just for the redact.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.